So we started Mila last week, and just to review briefly, the basic question that we dealt with from the Minchas Chinuch last week, starting in using the fancy Minchas Chinuch's Os Dalid, was this question of, when the Gemara says that a father is chayiv when the boy is 8 days old, but when he becomes bar mitzvah, the boy becomes chayiv. We know that the boy becomes chayiv at 8 days old. What we don't know from the Gemara is whether the father remains chayiv and it becomes a partnership, so to speak, of whatever percentage. We also wouldn't know the answer to that question, but some kind of a partnership combination. Or does the father get summarily dismissed? And again, you couldn't blame the Torah for firing him. He did have 13 years. And now it's only the son. The Minchas Chinuch had a diuk in the Chinuch. Maybe it was limited to Ketanim. In the footnote here, he quoted that there's a diuk in the Perasha Mishnayis, like that. And then the Minchas Chinuch brought, if I recall, I think we did four nafgaminas that would be to this question, right? According to the Shach, that someone who knows how to do bris milah can't make a shliach. So what if the father knows how to do bris milah, but the son wants to do it? So if the father is the still a bar chayuva, then he has to do it. Number two was, what if a third party jumps in, right? Kind of a crazy case to imagine. Third party jumps in on an 8-day-old baby, one thing. Can you imagine? That's crazy enough. But a third party jumping in on somebody who's over 13 already, right? We'd call that child abuse and call the police nowadays. But in the hypothetical world of the Minchas Chinuch, so there is a halacha, which is not just in the Minchas Chinuch world. If you steal a mitzvah from someone, you have to pay Yud Zehuvim. So who would get paid the Yud Zehuvim, right? The father or the son? Number three, would the father say, L'chnisa b'briso shlav m'ravinu, which is the mitzvah, a bracha that the father says, even if he doesn't do the bris himself, but he says when the baby's 8 days old. And then, as we said, the real nafgimina, tachlis, number four was, who's got to pay them all, right? Normal case, no third parties, no one jumping in, no yitzuhuvim, but you got to pay the doctor, you got to pay the mole, you got to pay somebody. Who has to pay for it? So that, says the Minchas Chinuch, would be the fourth raya. We then saw that the Minchas Chinuch wanted to bring a proof from the fact that the Gemara lists this along with other things, including Lahasio Isha, that he has to marry off his son, and the son, when he gets married, is a gadol, so maybe that's a raya, but not the best raya. The Minchas Chinuch didn't really kind of love that as a proof. And then the last thing we saw, just to review, we kind of rushed at the end, so let's take a minute to review it now, was the question of, if you have, one of the halachos is that a orel who's uncircumcised cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. Moreover, we learn, and the Rambam brings down the halacha, that if you are the head of a household, and there are either children or avadim in your household who you should have circumcised and are not circumcised, you also can't eat from the Korban Pesach. Not only can the Oral not, but you, the head of the house, cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. And there, in that context, the Rambam mentioned Banav HaKetanim, who are uncircumcised. So it seems like it's only Banav Ketanim. Step one. Step two, said the Minchas Chinuch, what about the fact that your son or your Eved didn't have a bris? What does that have to do with you? Meila, it's a pasuk, it's a drasha, the aro can't have from the Korban Pesach. But why should the head of the household be impacted? Says the Minchas Chinuch, he thinks it's a svar pshuta. It must be that the Torah is telling us that the halacha is that since you had a mitzvah lamul, Meila, your non-compliance, your non-fulfillment of the mitzvah is what's ma'akev you in the Korban Pesach. If that is true, that's step two of the Minchas Chinuch, it would come out in answer to our question, that you see from this that the Rambam is saying that the mitzvah only goes while the child is a katan. Therefore, banav hakatanim, you didn't do your mitzvah, it's ma'akev your ability to eat Korban Pesach. What I mentioned, I think if I remember correctly, we were rushed at the end, so let's review it more deliberately now, which is that one could debate that raya as well. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe in the stencil, Reb Chaim is quoted as having a different interpretation of that halacha. Because it's, in addition to the mitzvah of milah, there is also a metaphysical mitzius of, not milah, milah is the action, but of orel. There's a status, a halachic, you could say halachic, you could call it metaphysical, but there's a status of being a mahul, and there's a status of being an orel. And it could, this other nafkaminis and other hochachot for that chakira. But assuming that for now, since our time is limited, if I remember correctly, I think Rab Chaim says that it's not the mitzvah mila that's ma'akev, a person himself, let alone if it's his children or his eved, even himself. It's not the mitzvah mila that's ma'akev. What's one mitzvah got to do with the other? But rather, it's the status of being an orel, the mitzius of being an orel. So therefore, says Rab Chaim, it could be that there may be a mitzvah on the father even beyond 13. but that won't necessarily be ma'akev in the Korban Pesach. It's only when the father is also responsible for the status of the orel. And why should that change? Because when the kid's under 13, his status is his father's status. He doesn't have an independent status. So there's an orel in the family. But once you have the argument could be made, once the boy is 13, even though the father remains mitzuvah in the act of bris milah, but the stigma of having an orel in the family might not necessarily ma'akev his Korban Pesach. This would require, you know, much more iyun into lumdus of bris milah, lumdus of Korban Pesach. It would take us afield. All I'm noting, which is part of what makes learning Minchas Chinuch so beautiful, is very often he'll present a svara which is compelling and ingenious, and he'll assume it, but really, if we either look a little further or think a little harder, it often is a trigger for not only understanding his understanding of the mitzvah or the chakira, but also seeing other perspectives on that. Okay, so let's now go back in time, but now I put this on the second sheet, even though I think we actually was on the first sheet, but I cut and pasted it now into a second sheet, which is something that we skipped towards the end of last week's shiur, and that is another comment that the Minchas Chinuch wants to make in this context, and this is he thinks he has a raya, again to be poshet this question, from Tosfos. And this Tosfos is intriguing because it will not only help us one way or another, maybe, prove the chakira we're discussing, but it'll also be a petach into a larger discussion I hope we'll have time to get into, which is mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Mitzvah saseh shezman grama is its own topic, but it's not a mitzvah. You won't find an entry in Minchas Chinuch called mitzvah saseh shezman grama. You won't find an entry in Shas either called that. And it is discussed with many contexts, but as it so happens, because of the Tosfos that we're about to see, one of the most fruitful places in all of Shas, certainly in terms of Rishonim, to discuss mitzvah saseh shezman grama, emerges out of the discussion of bris milah. And again, like we just saw with Korban Pesach, whenever you have the intersection of two halachic concepts, right? Korban Pesach and bris milah, mitzvah saseh shezman grama and bris milah, so whatever assumptions we make about one also will help us for the other. So not only is this a good opportunity to grab a little lumdus in mitzvah saseh shezman grama, but by doing so, it'll actually shed light in various Rishonim's understanding of the mitzvah of milah. So we can get a lot done, and hopefully we'll see we can get as much of this in before mincha. So says the mincha sinach, and this is the first thing on your, for those of you who have the handout, it's the first thing on your handout. If you have the fancy schmancy Chon Yerushalayim Minchas Chinuch, it's on Amun Chet, halfway down through the page, the Dibra Matkos Ulich Ora. Yesh lohavi raya mea tosus kedushin sham daf chavtes, or whatever that is. There is a Dach of Tesla, Manal, I forget what daf that is. Kedushin, Dibra Masl Oso, right? The halacha is, says the Gemara, that the Av is chayiv in the bris milah of his son, but the mother is Pater. And the Gemara says, how do we know that a mother is Pater from the circumcision of her own son? The Siv, Oso, Velo, Osa, right? That Avram was obligated, but not Sarah, and so too, all future mothers are exempt. Comes along Tosfos and asks, now he's paraphrasing. Tosfos actually asked the question in two ways. And when we see a second selection I have on your sheet, which is later in the Minchas Chinuch, he more fully quotes the Minchas Chinuch, the Tosfos, with the other first half of the question. But for our purposes, Tosfos asks, what are you talking about? Bris Mila is a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. It doesn't start until the eighth day. So you see, there's a time element. If there's a time element, so it should have been obvious. Again, you have this a lot when you have categories, categorical halachos, so often you'll have Rishonim asking, not so much about the application of the category, not about a fact, but what do we need a new limud for if the category already exists? Tosfos is not questioning whether mothers should be obligated. Tosfos is saying, what do we need a special limud, a special drasha of osa v'lo osa? I have mitzvah saseh my grandma, a woman should be automatically potter, I don't need a special limud. What did Tosfos answer? Yesh lomar, kevim de yom ha-shmini v'ha'ala ein lo havsek, lav zman grandma hu. It starts on the eighth day, but until you circumcise the child, it's going. In other words, using bris milah now to teach us about mitzvah saseh shezman grama, what are Tosfos saying? What are the requirements to be considered a mitzvah saseh shezman grama? It has to have a start and an end. It has to be bracketed in time. It's not enough that it has a definitive start date. It also has to have a definitive and concrete expiration. The bracket could be big, but if it doesn't have a bracket, if it's only one start and not an end, or an end and not a start, it's not zman grama. In order to be automatically exempt by zman grama, says Tosfos, you need to have a start and a stop. And bris milah has a start, but does not have a stop. Ad kan the Tosfos comes along the Minchas Chinuch and says, what can this do for us? Very easy, says the Minchas Chinuch. If one were to have the position which is a hypothetical possibility in our Chakira, that the father's job is only until 13. Then after 13, you're fired, right? No more father, he's out. If that would be our position, Imkein, Akat Havlizman Groma. Then according to Tosus' definition, Bris Mila, on the role of parents, would have been Zman Groma. Tinhid Mitzvah Hamila Hi Tamid, because even though the Mila continues forever and ever until the boy gets circumcised, Mikamakum, Mashahuta Al Ha'av, he mitzvah acheres, Vazman Goreim, Sheshla Mitzvah Meshat Zman Shanim Ad Hagadlut, Gomali Lulav Sheshva Zman Shiva Yamim, Ozman Aruch Yemoshanim, came with Yeshla Zman, Habazman Groma, Volamalikra. Says the Minchas Chinuch beautifully. Because according to Tosfos, you see that the father is obligated forever. Because when Tosfos says that Zmila has no end date, it must mean that the father's obligation also has no end date. Because Lu Yitzuyer, in theory, if you would argue, which we were Madaik in the Chinuch, we were Madaik in a Rambam, but now it says the Menachas Chinuch, maybe Tosfos disagrees with what we've seen until now. Tosfos seems to hold that the father's obligation is forever. Because if the obligation was only until 13, so then, Mameli, you'd have Zman Groma. What's the start date? 8 days old. What's the end date? 13. You'll say, but the son's chiyuv continues. But says the Menachas Chinuch, what's it do with the father? The father was exempt. And our question was on the father and mother, not on son. That's the Menachas Chinuch's raya, that he thinks that according to Tosfos, Mila is a mitzvah which is on the father forever and not limited just until 13. El Al Korcha, to finish the paragraph, El Al Korcha must be, according to Tosfos, the Ein La Hefsek, the La'av Muta La'olam, Afbegaluso. Period. So you see from this that the father's obligation is forever. So two ha'orot. Number one, first of all, what we saw is not only a good, I think, an excellent diuk in Tosfos, but we also see again how answering something about Mila will tell us about Zman Groma. Telling about Zman Groma can tell us about Mila, right? So if you assume everything that's so far been in evidence, we have two new things, right? One is that the mitzvah of Mila goes forever. That teaches me about the father. And we also have learned a rule about Zman Groma. However, on that point, since in this case, the way the Minchas Chinuch was working, he was using Zman Groma to teach me about Mila. So this raya about Mila, it's a good raya in Tosfos. But Minchas Chinuch is intellectually honest enough to let us know. He teases us with that last with the last line. Let me just read it. I think I stopped short. Aharbe terutzim nemro kushis atosos. But he is intellectually honest enough and a bucky enough to let us know that even though we're big tamid chacham and we're knockers because we now know about atosos, but says the Minchas Chinuch, you should know that there are other answers to that question. Now, what is he really getting at? What he's getting at is you could step back and say, one second, Tosos is the one who asked the question. But just because Christopher Columbus discovered America didn't mean he created America. Just because Tosfos is the first one to ask the question, okay, Tosfos asked the question, but forget Tosfos for a second. It's a din. It's a din that there's a halacha that the women are potter. It's a gemara that everyone has to accept. It's a gemara. It's not a, and there's no bar pluktu. There's no other opinion in the gemara. There's no lishna kama. There's no lishna basra. There's no the amri. There's no chesuri mechsra. It's a din. Mothers are potter because of osa. So you might have said, what do I need? Instead of saying, well, maybe it's a machlekes, and now we can be medayik, we could put Tosfos on one side, we had before the chinuch, and maybe the Rambam on the other side. In essence, what I think the Minchas Chinuch is getting at is, you might say, whoa, from this halacha of bris mila and mother, it's game, set, match. We know the answer. It's not just that we have a machlokes. It's not just Tosfos versus. So why is it not that strong? It's strong, but it's not that strong. How come? So Minchas Chinuch pulls back a little. He says, because you should know that even though Tosfos gave this answer and therefore understands the issue of the mother in the way that he did, the way that, I guess, let's be precise. They, Tosfos is a plural, right? They did. But, says the Minchas Chinuch, there are other answers to the question about what, the exemption of the patur of the mother. And based on the other answers, that may teach me about the mother. That may teach me about Zman Groma. But the other answers won't necessarily commit us to this question about the role of the father and whether his mitzvah ends at 13 or not. What are some of those other answers? We'll get to in a few minutes. That's what I want to make the last part of today's shir, because the Minchas Chinuch himself, in a later section, quotes three or four other answers. But before we get to the next section in the Minchas Chinuch, which is more broadly about the role of the mother, and how do we understand the patur of Osa, and why isn't Mila Zman Groma, let's take a step back for a second and try to do one more step of lumdus on this whole question. Because until now, I think I mentioned this at the outset of last week's shir, last week, Shir, we were digging, but we were only going down one level. But you read a Gemara, you read a Mishnah, the father's chayav at 8 days, the boy becomes chayav at 13, and you could be a ganz fine yid, you could be a good Jew, and you know that you're a baki, you pass a bakiyas bachin on, and it's fine. The Minchas Chinuch forced us to go down one level and read that Gemara more carefully. When the Gemara said that the boy is chayav himself at 13, what happened to the father? That's like, whoa, I didn't even think about that. You could just run right past it. And now all of a sudden we've seen nafkaminas, potential rayas, dechiyas, back and forth. Right? But so far we have not gone deeper than that. But let's think about this for a second. Can't we go at least one step deeper? By which I mean to say, let's reframe the question now. Not is the father chayiv at 13 or does the father get fired? But assuming that that is a hypothetical chakira, and not only hypothetically, there are actually two deos about that question, maybe Tosfos versus the Rambam and Sefer Chinuch, let's say. What's that question based on? Why should it be? What would be the lumdus? What would be the rationale for saying that the father gets fired and he's out at 13? What would be the rationale to say, no, the father's chiyuv starts and never ends, he's just got a junior partner, his son becomes obligated in addition at 13? We have not asked that question yet. That's going down yet another level. You hear the question? What do you think? You have a svara for me? Yeah, Yos.
Well, saying that the father gets fired would imply that the etzem, or like the ikar mitzvah, was really on the kid. And
excellent! Very good. Hodol Hashem ki tov, baruch shem ki vanta. A number of achronim, I think maybe the one who I love the most in his presentation, is Rav Meir Dan Plotsky. I think some of you may remember. You remember last year I've told you about him, the Kli Chemda, who also has a sefer on the sefer of mitzvahs called the Chemdas Yisrael. And as some of you may remember, if you came to my chug last year when I quoted him, that I once was in the, when I was only a little older than you guys, I was in the YU library and there was a chassid there, the mocher, and I asked something about the sefer and he said, "You mean of the Plotzker?" So yes, the Plotzker wrote a sefer on Chumash called the Kli Chemda, and he also has a sefer on mitzvahs called the Chemdas Yisrael. So the Plotzker, tremendous Hasidic Shalamdan. So he suggests, I think others do as well, but in my memory, I believe that he has like the best presentation of it. He says, Yossi is Lamdas. Says, really is a different question, which is, who's the real Bar Chayuva in Mitzvah Smila? I mean, who's the Bar Chayuva? The Torah says, the Sefer Chinuch says, everyone says, the Maramam says, the father's Chayav Lemulas Beno at 8 days. Yah! Ober! We could still ask deeper, as Yossi said it. Who's really the Bar Chayuva? So one possibility is not to overthink things. The father is the Bar Chayuva. Just, you know, the Torah says it, the Rambam says it, the halacha is, the father's obligated. Nekuda. But what's the alternative possibility? Alternative possibility is that really, 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 the mitzvah's on the son. I mean, I should do a mitzvah on your body. It's a weird thing, right? You're chayiv. You're the son. The son is chayiv. It's his body. And, by the way, let's talk tachlis. Who's going to get kareis if it's not done? The son's going to get kareis. Who's got more skin in the game? Pun not intended, or not necessarily well chosen. Okay? Obviously the son. So you could argue, says the Kli Chemda, really the son is the Bar Chayuva. All the Makoros that talk about the father. Yeah, because what are you supposed to do? It's a Gzeres HaKosov that it happens at 8 days old. At 8 days old, how's the boy going to do anything for himself? So what's the father really? Be'etzim? A shliach. It's a form of a shliach. It's a unique kind of shlichos because the Torah appointed him. Not that you know, there's no mashaleach. I mean, Rabbonu Shalom is the mashaleach. But maybe really, really the father is just a stand-in or a shliach. But the Bar Chayuva is really the son. What would be potentially one way to test that chakira? Exactly what Yossi said. The Minchas Chinuch's question. If you hold that the father is really the Bar Chayuva, then listen, it's possible you could be a Bar Chayuva and get fired. Especially the kind of glib lashon that I'm using. You know, maybe, you know, you'd be fired at any point in your life. I could be fired if you waited 13 years. That's enough time we gave you to do your job. Okay. But it's certainly at least plausible, and it makes sense. You know, you had a mitzvah. At some point, the boy's got, you know, I don't want to go back to that metaphor, even though it keeps popping in my head. But the boy has relevance and responsibility. He is 13, and kareis is on him. So he's chayiv too. And the Gemara has a pasuk for that. But the father might be chayiv forever. He had a mitzvah. Why should we make a taste? We're going to take it away from him. But if you hold as Yossi said, that really, 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 the son was always the Bar Chayuva. It's just that when you're 8 days old, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? I'm 8 days old. So until you're bar mitzvah, until you're a gadol, your father has to do it for you. But if your father, for whatever reason, didn't do it, it's not that he's fired. It's that there's no need. I think it's the difference between a firing and a layoff. right? Fire is you did a bad job, you're out. The layoff is we don't make records anymore. You're the best record maker ever. If I was making a record, there's no one else I'd hire you. But we don't make records anymore. It's not relevant anymore. You were only there because the son couldn't do it himself. But now that he can do it himself, he can be chayiv. Why should you be obligated? There's numerous nafkaminas potentially to that question. Anyone who wants to see a fuller exposition of this, it's actually a chapter in my sefer, Chiyav Ha'av Binas Bino, and basically that chakira is the basis of the whole article. I'll just give you one. First of all, one little diuk, which from the Lashon of the Mishnah, which is the Tosfos Yontif, I think has the diuk, right? The famous Mishnah Kiddushin that we've been discussing more or less is, which says what mitzvahs haben al ha'av, pishin haben bris mil mitzvahs haben al ha'av. It's a really weird lashon, right? It's really awkward. So the Tosfos Yontif makes a diuk. It's a lom d'shul tom yontif, right? It's not usually what the Tosfos Yontif does. Right, Tosfos Yontif kind of, like a lot of other people, got put out of business by the Kahati, for most of us. But if you learn classical Mishnayos, Tosfos Yontif, I'm a Farshim, if I remember correctly, I believe he is a Talmud Mufok of the Maharal, Miprag, the Tosfos Yontif. So he says, you know why? Because it's Haben Halav, the Lashon of the Mishnah, Akim Lashono, it's a weird Lashon, but it was done deliberately. To be Maram is that who's the real mitzvah? Mitzvah's Haben Al-Ha'av. It's a Lom D'Shul formulation in the Mishnah. It's really the Ben's Mitzvah. It's just Al-Ha'av, but it's really the Ben's Mitzvah. Okay, there are other Dukim in the other direction, but that is what the Tosfos Yontif suggests, in fact. So now, I'll give you one just nafkamina of that broader, deeper question. Right? One nafkamina would be what happens to the father. That's what we're talking about. What's another nafkamina? Do you need Kavana in Bris Mila or not? Now, obviously, the boy at 8 days doesn't have Kavana. If you hold that there is a need for Kavana, you'd probably have to hold that either the father's kavana suffices, or what? If you hold there's a need for kavana, you have to assume either the father's kavana, or it's an onus or something. It's onus, right? Alternatively, you could say no. If the boy is the real bar chayuva, so then it could be that it's not possible to have kavana. Where do you see this in afkamina? And you see this play out in the question of milas gedolim. Could they be put under? Right, there's local anesthetic, which is one shaila, which is more of a little bit of a hashkafa, mystical one. Some poskim are against even local anesthetic for gedolim. Yeah, whatever. Because they hold that the ka'ev is part of the kiyum. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he proves that others will say that dam is part of the kiyum. That's what the issue of a clamp that's so tight that doesn't allow any blood, we assume would be possible the bris milah d'oraisa perhaps. But ka'ev, some poskim based on mystical sources, I don't think that's the minog. But okay, that's local anesthetic. But what about general anesthesia? A gadol under general anesthesia obviously cannot have kavana. So I can't remember if it was a Sridi Esh or somebody who made the point as well. Maybe it goes back to the Shaila. If you hold that there is a need for kavana, so what was happening when the baby was 8 days old? Well, either you assume if the father is the Bar Chayuva, then he was the one giving it, or it's an onus. Well, if that's the case, the nafkamin will be when it's a gadol and he's doing his own, and he's taking care of his own bris. If you hold that there was a need for kavana, it's just that he was an honest when he was 8 days old. So again, maybe you'll say he's an honest because he can't handle it. But maybe you say, why can't he be honest? Well, he'll have local anesthetic. He has to be opposite, he can have kavana. But if you hold, no, there was never a mitzvah of kavana. Or if there was a mitzvah of kavana, it was on the father, and the father had kavana. But maybe that's not necessary here. Anyway, interesting question, which may, again, I discussed it a little bit more clearly and a little bit more deliberately in that piece, and other nafkaminas to that. Okay, we have, I think, 4 minutes left, so we're not going to get through all the other stuff I wanted to talk about. But just the other stuff I put on your sheet is, as the Minchas Sinuch himself told us, so a little bit later in the same presentation, in Os Vav here, he quotes other answers to the question of, why would it be that a mother is pater because of oso velo osa? Why wouldn't Mila be mitzvah sezman grama? So first of all, he quotes that Tosfos in Megillah has a different answer. Tosfos in Megillah says, you know why? Because Mila is a mitzvah sheish bokares, and even though it's not going to be on the mother or the father, but even their mitzvah is of greater severity given that it is, we're in the kares universe. Maybe, says this Tosfos in Megillah, again, I'm paraphrasing because we're going to run out of time, but this is in the Minchas Chinuch and on your daf. Says the Minchas Chinuch, according to Tosfos, maybe when we say Mrs. Eishes Magrav, women are paturos, that's like matzah, that's like lulav. But Milu, Tiyes Bokares, we wouldn't automatically pater a mother. Kamash Milan, Osa, Velo Osa. That's one possible answer. A second possible answer, which is very intriguing, which I also discussed more in my piece, which I think is related to the Chakira we just discussed, is the Ramban and the Ritva. Again, the Minchas Sinach quotes this name, shame of the Ritva, but it's also from the Ramban before him, which is, maybe we say Mitzvah Seh Shaman Grama exempts women if it's a Mitzvah Saseh Sheb Begufan. It's on their body. They're shaking the lulav, they're, etc. They put on tefillin or whatever the case may be. But a Mitzvah on the son's body, Begufo, maybe Mitzvah Seh Shaman Grama would not be shaykh for that. Now that lashon of the Ramban and the Ritva, is that the same thing as what we just said from the Plotzker, that it's really talking about the Bar Chayuva, or is it possible that the Ramban means begufo, like physically, but lav dafka, maybe it's still the father's mitzvah? I don't know if it's 100% mukhruch, but it's certainly nitan le'amer that this Ramban and Ritva very much relate. That mitzvahs, and if that would be the case, then the mother would be yet another nafgamina. He then quotes in which I have in the last paragraph on your sheet, later in the piece in Ostes, he quotes from the Turei Evin, one of the earlier Achram Turei Evin, same author of the Shagas Aryeh. Turei Evin has a wide ranging, very well known theory of mitzvahs zman grama, which is that mitzvahs zman grama only works if at the end of that zman, certain times you have mitzvahs that repeat. Tefillin today, tefillin tomorrow. Right? Says this today, says this tomorrow. Kriyat Shema today, Kriyat Shema tomorrow. Says the Minchas Chinuch, says the Turei Evin, when do we say that women are exempt from mitzvah seh shaman grama? If tomorrow's mitzvah is panim chadashos ba'ol lekan. Yesterday's mitzvah is over. There's a zman grama, there's a bracket in time, and that's it. I can put on tefillin the rest of my life, but each day is another mitzvah. So zman mamish was goreim shetavo, and when that zman is laholech, the mitzvah went, bam! But he says, bris milah, the zman is goreim that it starts. But when it comes, and it's true, we don't do bris milah at night. But tomorrow morning when I wake up and it's the ninth day, the tenth day, the 11th day, what's the mitzvah? It's not a different mitzvah, it's the same mitzvah. That's yet another possible answer. Last but not least, just again, in terms of your dios polios, the last thing the Minchas Chinuch does is he popularized the opinion of the Sefer HaMakneh. Sefer HaMakneh says, even though we say women are potter, they're only potter midin apparent. But they're not worse than any other member of the community. And if you recall, we said that if a father doesn't do it, but the baby's still a katan, the Gemara said that the bezdin is chayav. The maknas shita is the bezdin does not mean bezdin with a capital base. It's bezdin as a, I'll use the Rav's terminology from a famous shir, a miyatzeg of the tzibur. They represent the tzibur. But really, who's the mitzvah on in between day 8 and year 13 if there's no father to do it? The tzibur is chayiv, the community is chayiv. Says the Makneh, the mother is also chayiv, mitam, a member of the community. So it's not pshat that women are mufka from the mitzvah. Why should they be mufka? They're not worse than anybody else, chas v'sholom. But there's a special chayiv in the mitzvah of ben ala'av that we paskin that she's technically exempt for osov lo'osov. But she could be shayach tamila because she is in that second category. Okay, yashikoyach, everybody. I'm thinking that...